Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
In today's show, we have Steve Rosenberg from Empire Industries in Houston, Texas. Now, Steve and I met through NARPM, and we've known each other for several years now, and he's part founder of a very good company there in Houston who's been seeing massive growth in their market. Now, he's also a distinguished speaker himself as an international trainer, and he's been flying all over, being invited to speaking engagements, and he's got a real strong passion for helping others grow their business, especially property managers. You can check out their business on their website, EmpireIndustriesLLC.com. Let's have a listen. Welcome, Steve. How are you today?
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Pleasure to have you on, man. You and I have spent some time together before and had lots of good conversations, and it's time we share some of those with the world.
So, yeah. We always seem to brainstorm and come up with good ideas. Unfortunately, it's just you and I talking and no one else can hear them. So it's nice that people can start hearing what we come up with and what we discuss.
That's the cool part behind this, is we want to make this a good conversation to where people can pick stuff up about what we do and what you do. And so prior to, you know, us starting this recording, you and I talked about kind of where we wanted to go in this conversation. And you were specifically doing something that's very fascinating for me. And you're setting up different market centers, different pods in the city of Houston where your market center is located. The first one, the big one. So kind of take that and run with it to tell me what you're doing with it and how it's working for you guys, and just go through the whole gamut.
Sure. So basically what we're doing is right now, you know, we currently manage about 600 properties, and we do that all out of one central location office. And, you know, being in a large metropolitan city like Houston, one of the challenges that we have, either from a property manager standpoint, from a real estate agent standpoint, and most importantly from my department, from a sales and marketing standpoint, is windshield time. Mm-hmm. And the windshield time of driving cross city is kind of what kills you. And more importantly, what we've learned is it really affects our conversion rate. So we're not able to be everywhere every time. And we looked at that and we realized that even though we want to service the whole city, one person is just not able to do that.
Right. And so you probably expand on that real quick, because people don't understand how big that market is. And so when you're going from one place to another place, you could be, 45 minutes to an hour away? And the city of Houston is probably, 2 hours wide, for example?
Absolutely. The city of Houston is huge. And I mean, we stretch from Galveston on up to Willis. That's a 2.5 hour drive right there. And then we go, that's a north-south direction. And then if you go east-west from, you know, Katy area out to Crosby, that's another 2.5 hours. And that's really not even talking traffic. So it's a, you know, it, obviously all of us in the property management business, you don't want to turn down properties if it fits your niche and it fits what you want, but you have to figure out a scalable system and a scalable business model for you to be able to, you know, capture that. And so what we came up with, the idea was, instead of opening another larger office or maybe a north-south office, was to actually go the opposite direction and be more targeted and more specific by creating small satellite type offices where we have a business developer in a certain sector of town, and that business developer basically has less windshield time. So that helps us multiple ways. Number one, they know the market better, they know the area, they start to know the clientele and the clientele's properties, and they can service the clients or the leads when they come in, as opposed to saying, you know what, I'm down on the south side today, I'm not even going to be on the north side until Wednesday. Well, as soon as they hang up, what are they going to do? They're going to call another company. As opposed to saying, you know what, yeah, I'm around the corner, let's meet right now, I'm free. That, to me, is the difference of increasing the conversion rate of our client acquisitions.
Mm-hmm. So a couple things right off the bat I think of right away is, let's dive into one at a time, because they could be 20-minute conversations for each of them. The sure. First one is, let's talk about the expense of that.
Sure. Well, normally when you have a business developer, it's performance based. And so we believe in the performance-based business model. There is some type of base salary. It's up to you. You know, you're gonna pay one way or the other. However, I would caution just the terminology. We don't look at it as an expense per se. We look at it as an investment, because to us, and I guess in true terms, it is an expense on your P&L. But the mindset is that it's an investment in this person, because the return of dollars on that marketing person, on that BDM, is going to far outweigh their salary. Or in a perfect world, it should. And if it doesn't, then maybe you have the wrong person in that role. But our main goal is to make sure that we have the right person in place, so that we know our acquisition cost, we know our marketing cost, and we know how many doors we need to get to be breaking even. And so there is going to be obviously some initial upfront capital investment in the office, mm-hmm. in things like that. But how many more doors are we going to convert because of it? So for an example, right now we bring in, I'm going to say we're bringing in about 100 to 100, and depending on the month, obviously it cycles, but 100 to maybe 125 leads a month. Okay. So what we have learned by going to this model of multiplication is, now instead of me having one BDM and one marketing person running around all over the place, we now have 7 BDMs and /7 marketing people going to realtor events, talking to investors. So now we're working on a case of multiplication, and our target, just to give you an idea, is going from 100 to 125 leads. We are targeting 350 leads a month. So the numbers, yes, it is going to be an expense in the beginning. However, we feel that the massive amount of marketing is going to be bringing them in, and because they're more set off, we are going to have a lot more higher conversion rate. So for example, our year-to-date conversion rate was at 50%, okay, which is pretty good in the property management business, because the average, I believe, is 19 to 20. We're at 50. We want to be at 75. Mm-hmm. And we feel that by being at a more sectored-off area, we can increase that, because it's the windshield time, we feel, is what's really, really affecting our conversion rate.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Along those same lines, did you have a break-even number for monthly and annual projections? And is that for each market center you're setting up? And let's define that. Is it a market center? Is it a BDM pod? What do you want to call it?
Well, we call it a satellite office. Satellite and the reason office. Is okay. the way it's going to work for us, our particular business model, is that we are going to have a first person that goes in, let's just say first person across the lines in infantry, is going to be the marketing person. Okay, so initially, this person is being trained as a marketing person and a BDM. Okay, so if they're not getting phone calls, we don't need a BDM, because we're not closing doors.
Yeah.
So they need to go in behind lines and start getting some phones to ring by doing marketing events, by going to investor events, basically making the phone ring, let's say, because we focus, our business models, we focus on what's called inbound marketing. We don't cold call, they call us, okay? So their job first is to start making the phone ring. We feel that's going to be, you know, about 2 to 3 months that we're going to start having this, as far as, you know, getting the wheel of momentum turning. Okay. Once we get that wheel of momentum turning, they're going to start getting leads. Once those leads start, they're going to start becoming closing of doors. As they are closing these doors, and as they're doing this more and more and more, they are going to start generating enough in their performance base. So besides from their base salary, they are going to basically pay, or they will get paid based on their performance, right? So we feel that the office itself, our business model is that it will take 14 months for them to be up and running and profitable per office. Okay.
14 months.
That's just our projection.
Okay.
14 months.
Okay.
Now, once we get enough properties in a certain city or certain sector, I'll say, we will then inject a property manager into that section, mm-hmm. in the satellite. So now we will have a property manager, and we will have a BDM / marketing person. Now, it will get to a point that if the marketing is being done correctly, that there will be enough leads, or more than enough leads, coming in that BDM / marketing agent will no longer be able to do both roles. So at that point, we have to talk to that BDM and say, what do you want to do? Do you want to be the marketing person, or do you want to be the BDM? Your choice, but we need you to pick one, because you cannot do both of them effectively.
Yeah.
Once we make that decision, then we bring on the opposite of what they are. And we're going to know, you're going to see the traits, because a marketing person is in the DISC profiling system. A marketing person is a lot different than a BDM person. So they have different DISC profiles. So people like to clump together marketing and sales. The reality is that a marketing person has a much different disposition and profile than a salesperson. Mm-hmm. Totally different. You're not going to have both of them good. You have to have them each differently. And we have main marketing at our headquarters, and that person is doing the drivers of SEO, brand awareness. So that is still being done at the main headquarters. This is the person that's going to the networking events, mixing in at investor meetings, doing all that stuff. So what you're going to find essentially is we're going to find a BDM, a marketing rep, and a property manager. So it's going to be a team of three in that satellite office.
Yeah, that's a great segue, because you mentioned SEO, and that would be my next point of discussion that I really want to hammer in on is, tell me about the SEO genius behind this. So you have a market center in Houston, for example. It's the city of Houston. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But let's say there's the city of Katy, which you mentioned before. You don't really have an SEO presence there, potentially, when you SEO Google Katy Property Management. You may not come up in that particular search. But if you have an office center there with an address, with an actual live person, a phone call, a phone system, that's going to eventually start to show up on Google. Is that correct?
That's correct, because it all has to do with keywords and functions, and we have already started adding those keywords there. So, for example, we're going to be heading into Dallas very shortly. We've already started putting keywords in our SEO for Dallas. Mm-hmm. So we're already starting to come on the map on searches just to get the wheel of momentum going. Okay.
Where are the SEO challenges coming up? I mean, are you wanting to consolidate one Google Plus page, one Facebook page? I mean, are you able to recreate an office all over the place, or are you having to stick to consolidation measures because of some of the restrictions like Google may put on you, for example?
Right. So what we've been advised, and I'm definitely not an SEO expert. I know a lot about marketing, but I don't know that much about SEO when it gets down and dirty with that. But what we have been advised is, you know, right now we are the number one. We are on the first page of Google, and we're normally one or two or three or something like that. But we're on the pins, okay, for when you Google Houston Property Management, Houston Property, or something like that. And the reason we're there is we have almost 300 Google reviews. So we're very high. We're the highest in Houston on Google reviews. And the other thing is we have a lot of video content tied to our website. So the challenge is, if you want to go and start changing your websites to a Houston, Dallas, Katy, all of a sudden you're going to lose that SEO, because we built it up with our website with all of our SEO content and our pins. So we would have to basically start from scratch everywhere, where I don't think you need to do that. I think you just need to change keywords and we would come up. Now, maybe on our main website, we may say, which city are you looking for? And that may be the first page that pops up on our website, which is basically a cover sheet, if you will. And then they would click Dallas, or they may click Katy, or they may click Houston. But that will take them to our main page. So that's a good problem to have. It's still a challenge that we're going to have to deal with. We don't really have an answer, I guess. I've been told that we're not going to change our domain or anything because of that. We may want to have subdomains, but we don't want to change our main domain because of how well we're positioned on SEO status. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because would you have to set up a whole new separate URL, Katy Property Management Empire, for example, and that would have to be completely SEO'd out, you know, as they say, Google page, Yelp page, potentially all that stuff to go into it. And I'm just curious if you ran across that challenge yet and been able to successfully solve it.
Well, we were talking to our web designer, and what he advised us to do, which we're doing, is we're putting all the addresses on our pages of our website. So they're already in our website, or they're going to be, or they're in the process of their, you know. The other caveat to this is we just opened those six offices basically January 1.
Yeah.
So officially opened, and we're still trying to lock down two more offices of physical locations. So I'm sure these are things that are going to come up. And you know, this kind of leads into my next point of one of the biggest challenges we've had, and I don't know if you've had this or other property managers, I'm sure we're not alone, is that mental hurdle of actually saying, can we really do this? Can we really go out on a limb, hire seven people on salary at some point, expenses, and more importantly, do we have the systems in place to actually make this work? Like, can we scale this thing to 350 leads? Because it's great having 350 leads. Let's say we get there. What do you do with those leads once you get them? Right. And then once you convert those doors, you gotta shove all that meat into that sausage, basically. You gotta make sure that the operation side can keep up. You know, that's great if we are getting in, let's say we're bringing in 70, 80 doors a month, that's great. But if we're losing 90 out of the backside, that's not so great.
Yeah, and that's where Pete comes in. Because you, to explain further for listeners that may not know, Empire's Design, you guys have two principals. You have—
Correct.
Steve, you are the marketing guru, man. You're the speaker, you're the guy getting the face out there. Then there's Pete in the background, and Pete Neubig is his name, and he's doing all the operations, essentially. And that's a neat little caveat there is Pete and I talk every week, just like this, except we don't record it. So we're going to talk with him more and start recording this. Right. One of the things he's doing right now, and you may want to elaborate because you're in there, he's taking over a portfolio. He is like the undercover boss right now, I keep telling him.
He is.
You know, just on a side note, could you give us a few minutes on that and tell us kind of the background there? That's an awesome story.
Sure. So, you know, obviously when you're growing, you know, we basically in 4 years have gone from zero to 600 doors in 4 years. So that is some pretty explosive growth because we didn't buy any rent rolls. All those doors were hard fought one by one. And when you have that type of growth, the systems that work, as you know, Brad, the systems that worked at 200 doors don't work at 400 and definitely don't work at 600. And challenges that you had that never even existed now exist. Maybe it's employee issues. Maybe it's handoff issues. So every time we have learned that as we have this growth, we have a lot of challenges, and we have 50%. We've learned that 50% of our people and 50% of our systems will break in this growth. That's just a matter of fact. That's just statistics. And our job as owners of the company and principals is to constantly be watching these and fix them. That's our job. We have to find the fixes and we have to find the solutions to these challenges.
Okay? Well said. Yeah. We've gone through the same cycle you guys have.
Everybody does.
Yeah. Where you start off at zero and you go to 100 homes and now there's new challenges, and you go to 200, there's new challenges. We've had to reinvent ourselves several times.
Yeah.
My staff always calls me ABC. They call me always be changing because it seems like we always have to change things to make it improve.
You know, yeah. And you kind of have to keep your head on a proverbial swivel to make sure that, you know, if you didn't change it and you went down with the ship, they would go, why didn't you change this if you saw this coming? Right.
So back to Pete. Now this relates right to him because he's had to make a change with personnel. He and I have talked about this challenge where he says his portfolio managers and property managers are so busy, and he and I haven't really been able to solve the problem because he and I basically developed together a portfolio management system. It's working here, it's working there with you guys, but there is going to be a growth challenge. And bottom line, Pete took over a portfolio.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did because we have a business coach and we're coached, and we started having this discussion with our coach, and, you know, we're banging our head against the wall. And I know he references and talks to you a lot, and we're like, we just cannot figure out. They say they're busy, but what is busy? You know, no one really has a definition of what busy is. Like, everyone's busy. I'm busy from, you know, I get up at 4 a.m. and I'm busy all day long, but what am I doing? I'm doing things that I do. Well, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just busy. Well, that's not really an answer. Give me some definitive things that we can, if you give me something definitive, and I know you're very similar to this, give me something and then let me tackle it and attack it, break it apart, and then we'll rebuild it and fix it better. But giving me this theory of that I am busy, it doesn't give us a way to fix the problem because we can't fix theoretical busyness. We need, okay, I'm busy because owners are calling me on such and such issue. Okay, well then we can maybe change the settings in the software. We can maybe not charge them. We can fix that system if we know what we're looking at, right? If we don't know what we're looking at, we don't know. So the solution was, okay, Pete, you have created all these systems. You've created these manuals. You know, we have a lot of electronic checklists that Pete has spent hours and hours creating that are just amazing checklists. And okay, you need to go in and see if what you built actually works. So let's see, put your money where your mouth is, Pete. You go in and you figure out why your system that you created doesn't work. And so he did. So he went in and he basically became a property manager. And he was the senior property manager, as he liked to call himself. I don't know why, but of course, right? So as he went in and started working it, and he found a lot of things, tweaks and measures, and a lot of redundancy that maybe, you know, employees are, don't know, and they're just doing it because they're told to do it without kind of stepping back. And sometimes when you have that 30,000 foot view, it's easy to have that director's view and direct people. But when you're in the weeds and you're in the heat of battle, you don't, you know, you're working in the business, not on the business. It's a lot harder to see those challenges that are going on. And sometimes, you know, you got to get in there with the troops and fight. You just have to do it to see what they're seeing and walk that walk. And, you know, my hat's off to him because, you know, he was spending weekends, he was spending a ton of time. But what's interesting is we did find a lot of challenges that are going on, and he was able to fix a lot of things to start streamlining and come up with solutions to inefficiencies that he saw to be able to make more systematic and make, you know, make it so that it's scalable. Because essentially what we're looking at is how do we have this same business model in El Paso, in Dallas? How we have to be able to scale this, which is part of the reasons we're doing the electronic checklist. It's all cloud based, but we want to be able to have these. It's like McDonald's, right? We want to be able to give the same exact service that somebody gets in College Station, in Dallas, in Austin. We want to make sure that the product we deliver is the product that they don't have to think about. And if it's systemized and checklist, you know, my background is being an airline pilot, and part of being an airline pilot is I've been trained for the last 20 years from Boeing aircraft to learn how to utilize checklists and how to have the methodology and implementation of checklists. And with that, we were able to utilize my background, and Pete came from the IT world, exactly what we're doing with these checklists and why, you know, checklists are great if they're used correctly. If they're not used correctly, you know, in the airplane world, people die. You know, they crash a plane and they die. And it, and in the property management business, it's the same thing, but basically you lose owners or get sued or go out of business. And it's the same thing of understanding how do you deliver that same constant service while you're growing. And that is our biggest challenge of, okay, it worked 6 months ago. You know, like for example, just a quick example. We have 600 properties and average vacancy is 8 to 12% here in Houston, which tells us that we have somewhere between, you know, maybe 45 to 60 homes, 65 homes that are vacant every month on average, okay? It's not good, it's not bad. It's just a statistical number, okay? Now, what's different is when you're at 300 homes and you have 30 properties vacant, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just a number, but the systems and the inbound calls that come at 30 doors is a lot different that come at 60 doors. And when we have 1,000 doors that we're managing, we're going to have 100 vacant units. So the call volume that comes in, the amount of agents you have, the amount of communication between agents and property managers and BDMs, you know, it starts getting complicated. Because the one thing that we've learned, I'd say one of the most valuable things that we've learned as we've been growing, as the true weak points in a system is when there's a handoff. When you're handing off from one department to another, from one person to another, whenever there's a breakdown in communication, that is always the elbow slash weakest point in a system. Yeah. And so, you know, have you noticed that on your side?
Agreed. That would be one of the things that we've always heard is, for example, if you're taking a complaint, whoever takes a complaint has to deal with it from start to finish. It's not take a complaint and then hand it to Sally, and Sally says, okay, I'm going to hand it to Susie, and Susie says, not me. This was maintenance, and hand it back to the maintenance. You know, they have to handle and search out the complaint and go back and resolve it. And one of the things back to, you know, undercover boss there, Mr. Pete, he took over like a portfolio of what, 100, 120 homes, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think it was about 120.
Yeah, so from what I understand, he was working like a dog, you know, 80-hour week that first couple weeks until he got into the groove. But now he's able to streamline that a bit more. And where do you think he is at this point?
You know, it's funny you say that because he feels very confident in the portfolio. He feels confident in what he's doing. You know, he told me yesterday he's got a 98.1% collection rate of all the rents on his portfolio. You know, and we have KPIs and we have incentives based on the KPIs for our property managers. So we reward them for doing good. You know, we don't want to just work them for nothing. We reward them. Even with them getting rewarded, they're still buried. And so I don't think it's for lack of them not working hard, But I think it's kind of, I relate it to when people are in a boat and you're kind of behind the power curve of a boat and you're kind of just pushing the water as opposed to planing and getting up on the water. I think right now they're just pushing the water and they're not getting enough power to get up above the water. And so, I think that's the way I put it in my mind, at least.
So people's able to take the systems that have been put into place, apply what he's supposed to be doing as a portfolio manager, which you can replicate to scale however many times you want. And he's been able to say, yeah, I'm able to handle X number of homes in this system and not feel like I'm working 80-hour weeks. I'm working 30-hour weeks.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you say that, Brad, because the one thing that we've learned in most people's challenges, it's not a tool set issue. It's a mindset issue. There's something in their mind, just like us scaling our business model. I remember when Pete and I went to a mentoring a year and a half ago, the guy we were talking to said, you guys are ready to go to Dallas in 90 days. And this was a year and a half ago. And Pete and I thought, there is no way we are ready to expand this business. And he said, you guys already have it. It's your brain that is stopping you. And what's interesting is in this conversation with the person that was mentoring us, he says, let me ask you a question. He goes, could your company do $1 million this year? We said, yes. He said, okay, could you do 3 million? We said, yeah, we could. He said, okay, could you do 5? Well, 5 would be tough. Five, you know, we start kind of squirming in our seats a little bit. He says, let me ask you this. Could you do $20 million this year? And we said, I don't think we could do that. And he said, well, Google did it. Yahoo did it. It can be done. A business could. Are there property management companies out there that do that amount of volume? Yes, there are. So he says, there's something in your brain that is blocking you guys somewhere between 5 and 20 that is telling you can't do it. It's the same thing with expanding your office. It's a mindset issue. And that was a big hurdle for us to overcome. And it's the same thing with these property managers that we have. They're saying they're busy. Well, they're telling themselves they're busy. So what are they? They're busy. Pete's telling himself, you know what? I spent a lot of time. I got over this. And you know what? I'm on the other side and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are stressful days, beginning of the month, paying rent, doing all these things, having an upset owner with challenges. But you know what? It's all scalable. It's all doable. It's just your mindset. And that's the one thing that I don't think, you know, business is business, right? It's communication. It's doing what you said you're going to do and it's following through on it. I mean, like you just said with the person that takes a complaint, they need to follow through from start to finish on that complaint. Because it's a mindset issue. You don't want them to go, well, it's not my problem. That's his problem, you know? And that's that above the line, below the line, where they're just kind of going, it's not my deal. It's his, you know? Brad screwed that up.
Yep, it was my screw up. I'll take it. One of the things I really like about what you guys have set up over there is you have a two-person approach. I mean, you have two extremely smart principals over there setting this up. One's doing operations, one's doing the sales and marketing, and it's just working like a charm for you guys. It's really impressive. So let's talk back, you know, a little bit more about the marketing stuff, because I think that's kind of what you're specializing in. And we did a little caveat because it's like a staircase as we talked. You and I have seen this both, where you build up a little bit and then you got to flatten out and figure it out, and then you build up a little bit and flatten out.
Absolutely.
And you guys have been able to kind of, I don't know how to even explain it, but basically make that staircase more like a hockey stick, where you're not feeling a lot of bumps in the road.
You know, the one thing that we have done that we've been very diligent in is, well, two things. Number one, we look at marketing as the prime leading thing in the company, meaning it's an investment. We put a lot of capital. We have a budget. Most property management companies don't have a budget for marketing, number one. Number two, we have a marketing coordinator. The marketing coordinator was one of the first people we hired, because the reality is if you're not marketing and you don't have people calling you, you're going out of business. You just don't realize it yet.
Yeah.
Or you don't understand what marketing truly is.
Right. Let's throw out some stats there. So we, as a company here in San Antonio, we lost 20% last year. 20% of our rent roll from sales, because the real estate market for sales was extremely hot. And it may have been the same over in Houston, but if we did not make the effort to replace the 20%, we'd be losing ground. We'd just be losing part of our business. So clearly, if you're not making that effort, and then, you know, the trends they throw out there, the averages they throw out there, is 15% of your rent roll every year is going to go away one way, shape, form, or the other.
Right. Yeah. And so one thing that we do with marketing, like I said, we luckily that, like you said, it's a two-prong approach. So I'm very fortunate to the fact that I am able to focus all of my time and attention because, you know, Pete is just a, he's just a maestro in the operations. And I'm so blessed and lucky to have someone like him because, you know, he kind of doesn't step on my toes. I don't step on his toes. So when it comes to marketing, I kind of have free rein. You know, I wanted to start a radio show. We started a radio show because of branding and marketing. All Pete cares about is it in the budget? It's in the budget. It's not an emotional thing. Is it in the budget? Do you, if it's not in the budget, you can't do it. I don't care what you do. You can create a, you can have a balloon out on I-10 if it's in the budget. If it's not in the budget, you can't have it. So one of the things that we do in the marketing world is we, first of all, we test and measure every single thing we do. We are fanatical with KPIs, key performance indicators. I want to know where every dollar is being spent and is that dollar coming back to me in the form of a client? So one of the things that, again, going back to property management companies or any business in general, is they don't track where their money is going. So most property managers I talk to and I ask them, what is your acquisition cost per client? Most of them don't know that. If they do know that, I'll say, okay, what is your acquisition cost per marketing tool? Meaning if you go to marketing events, how much do you make, how many clients do you get from that event? And what is your acquisition cost for each one of them? So we get very granular because that is how we know what to spend money on, what to stop spending money on, what's not working and focus on what is working. And most people don't do that. And as you grow, you really have to be cautious of where that money is being spent because we have allocated a budget for marketing. We're very big in trying to figure out where the money is working, where it's not working, and we're very quick to pull out. If it's not working, you know, we may give it 90 days, but after 90 days, if we're not seeing the return or we see a place that we can get a better return, we pull out. And we've been very with that mindset of tracking and knowing. And even, you know, now think about it now. Now we have 7 business developers. I really need to know where that money's going and I need to know where each one of them is doing something. I mean, I need to know a lot of stuff as to what's going on and what they're doing.
What's one of the biggest or coolest or freshest or neatest ideas you've done in marketing in the last 3 to 6 months outside of the satellite office situation? Like what's new out there that we may not know about yet?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I don't think there's anything new, I'll tell you. I would say everything we do has been existence. However, one of the things that we do is we're consistent. And we're consistent to maybe one message doesn't work and we have to tweak it. But I will say that as we are continuing to do things, like for example, I'll talk about the radio show. Okay. So we have a radio show in Houston. So we were trying to figure out how do we fit the radio show in the budget because we think that the radio show is not going to give us specific conversions, but we're going to get brand awareness and we're going to be considered the experts by having industry experts on the show. Okay. So we had to figure out how do we fit that in the budget. So we started thinking about it. We were thinking and brainstorming and we came up with the idea, okay, we're going to get sponsors. And these sponsors are not only going to get to come on the radio show and get commercials and all these other things. We give them a spot every month or something like that. But the other thing that we're going to do is we are going to put them on all of our marketing materials. So they're going to be on all of our marketing materials on the back. Now, these marketing materials get put in the hands of realtors. They get put in the hands of investors. So if I was an air conditioning guy, would I want to be put in the hands of agents and realtors? Now, the next thing we do is we have what's called an owner education series, where once a month we provide an educational series at our office or at a place, and we invite everyone we can. We especially in person invite our owners by calling them personally and asking them, we'd like for you to attend. We will have maybe a real estate attorney come and speak on things that you need to know to protect yourself in case of litigation. Next month, we may have an insurance specialist. Next month, we may have a tax person. These are all free of charge. If you are a sponsor of the radio show, you can speak for free. If you are not a sponsor of the radio show, you can come, but you have to pay for the food for the event. So we've been able we think we've been pretty ingenious. And again, I don't think this is anything that people don't do. To us, we think we did a very good job of taking an idea. So essentially, our radio show is covered by sponsors.
Right.
And we have, and now we have sponsors that come and help us look professional because they're professional, and they are now the face of us. And also, don't forget, when we promote our radio show, when we have them on the show, let's say we have 20,000 people in our database. Okay. Well, not only do we blast it, but we tell the person that's on the show, make sure you send this out to your database because you're on the radio show. Well, guess where that radio show sits? Guess whose website it's sitting on?
Yours.
It's on our website. That's so right. We're getting SEO traffic.
That's right. That's right.
So we are trying to become the hub of communication where everyone is looking at our stuff. So we think that by doing that is really a key indicator of changing us from just being a property management company to being someone that's a leader of the industry of educating them on everything about investing. And it's not us doing it. We have the experts coming in and doing it.
It's great content. And people may neglect great content. They think, oh, great, I got to go be a writer of a blog. Content is everything that we're talking about now, radio show, podcast, blogs, videos, written reviews. All those things are good content that will go onto a site to boost your SEO presence. And that's really where the bottom line could be to get more business, to generate more leads, is your SEO presence. And of course, I love what you guys are doing with the outside stuff. You may want to spend a couple minutes talking about your realtor referral programs and maybe not dive into it too much because it's maybe a hair complicated, but kind of paraphrase kind of what it is. And I think this is something that a lot of property management companies don't do. And I want to give you the floor on this.
Sure, sure. So we came up with an idea of working with agents. One of the oil and vigors is agents don't like property managers don't like agents, essentially, you know. And we couldn't really understand. Pete and I came into this industry as investors, so we didn't come into this as maybe realtors that started managing properties. So we didn't really understand the dynamics. So we started realizing this issue of property managers and agents, and we thought, okay, well, what is the rub? What is the problem? Well, the problem is you property managers steal our business. You steal our clients, okay? What do you mean? Well, when we give you a client to manage, you take that management and you sell it. You're the ones who sell the property and it's no longer our client, okay? So because of that, you don't give us any business. That's right, okay? So let me ask you this. If we gave you back that client, would you give us the business? Yes. Okay, so we're thinking to ourselves, what's the average lifetime of our clients? Again, if you know your numbers and you know your KPIs, you can track that. We know that our average client stays 3 years. We know the revenue of our client is somewhere between $3,500 and $4,000 a year in revenue on our clients. We know these numbers. We start doing the math and we say, you know what? We could grow a lot more by having this agent alliance program and going after realtors as opposed to going the other way and having this oil and vinegar rub. Mm-hmm. So essentially that's what we did. We started going after realtors and we created this program where we pay them basically a monthly referral fee. And if they ever want to sell the house, we send the client back to the agent. Whether or not they use them, that's not our business. We say, is your client, because technically it was their client, they referred them to us. If you want to sell it, you can sell it. If you want us to sell it, we'll sell it and pay your referral fee, but we're giving you first shot at it.
And that's the beautiful thing. It's what you set up is nothing new to the business, and there's been referrals forever. However, absolutely. What you want to expand on for the audience is explain how you get in there, because you know we all have potentially a referral program, and some advertise it, some don't. But the way you get into these brokerages with continuing education, I want you to expand on that, because that's a step above what most people will do, but they could do if they just made the right effort.
Absolutely. So, you know, one thing we learned is you have to have value. So going into these realtor offices and saying, I'm so great because I'm Steve and I've got a perfect bald head. And, you know, you guys should use me because I'm great. They're going to go, yeah, we'll talk to you. But if you go in there and, you know, the one thing that sells is fear. Right? It's just a reality. And when you go in and you talk to the broker and you say, I'd like to talk to you about the liability, and I'm not telling anyone how to do this, I'm just telling you what is a way to do this. And when you talk to a head broker and say, do you realize two things? First thing, do you realize how much liability you have out there with some of your realtors practicing property management when they don't know what they're doing, when that is the most litigious part of real estate? Which basically, if they get sued, guess who else is getting sued, Mr. Broker? Mm-hmm. Yep, you are going to be wrapped up in that lawsuit. Okay. That's number one. Number two, you guys don't deal with investors because you don't know how to handle them. A lot of realtors don't like to deal with investors, and they may say, well, we don't even allow our agents to do property management because it's so litigious. Well, my question to them is, do you realize how much revenue you are losing out on by not working with investors, by not having a end game for them, a service avenue for them? Why not partner with a professional company that makes you look even better, that when you talk to an investor and they're asking you investor type questions and management questions, you say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I know a company that does. Let me get you in touch with them. You get to do what you do, which is sell the property. You let us do what we do, which is manage the asset. And if the owner ever wants to sell it, it goes back to you.
And you've developed like a whole series of educational events that you can go in and perform on.
And we did.
And these are continue education approved. So talk through that, because that's the next level of enticement for these realtors to come in and sit and attend your classes.
Yeah. So I got certified by the state of Texas to teach continuing education. And so I go in and I think I have about six classes that I teach that I'm certified in. And the things we talk about are, why does that agent make all the money working with the property management company and I don't? Fair housing laws and discrimination laws you need to know about so you don't lose your license, right? These are things that agents want to know about. They want to hear these things. How to, you know, learn from the pros on how to lease your properties. I do a class on communication and negotiations and disc profiling. I do a class on how to become a more successful agent and make more money. I do another one on the economy is changing. How do I keep making money? Those are all things that interest agents. And, you know, I get anywhere between 20, 50, sometimes, you know, 75 agents in these classes, and they pay for the continuing education. So now I'm getting paid to actually go teach this class. So now the marketing that we're doing becomes a revenue stream for the company.
That's a great deal. And what you forgot on those 50, 75 agents, which doesn't sound like a great deal, but every time the broker has a class like that, they blast it out to their 1,000 agents, their 500 agents. So they all see the marketing, you know, come see Steve talk for CE credits Wednesday, 11 o'clock. And if nothing else, you're reaching all that. It's like giant tentacles going out. It's just genius. Absolutely. I love it.
And what we do is every time we get those people, guess where those people go? Right into our drip campaign.
Yep.
And now these agents are in our electronic CRM web, if you will. And we're sending out constant information about how we won the next award and our next CRM class. And maybe we're hiring realtors and we need realtors, or it starts building upon itself. And it truly is that big mo. It's that big momentum wheel that starts spinning, and we can see it, that it gets bigger and bigger. And what's interesting now is, you know, at first it was just me and the marketing guy going to all these offices and, you know, bringing tacos and bringing sandwiches. Well, now when we go and speak at these things, if it's under X amount of agents, I don't even go. I send one of the marketing people. If it's a class that I'm teaching lunch, that I'm teaching like a lunch and learn, we have one of our sponsors come and bring lunch. So we're not paying any money to do it. But what's very interesting is when we go there, we actually have agents that will raise their hand, because my BDMs are very scripted. I script everything I want them to say and how I want them to say it, because I know there's certain ways to get across things to people, and I'm very particular about that. And when they have their scripts and they're doing their 3-minute elevator speech, and one of the questions is, you know, who's heard of us or done business with us? More and more hands start raising up. And it's kind of nice to say, okay, this is working. Like, we see this actually working. And these agents refer us. And last year, agent referrals were the number one reason for our growth.
That's
and
impressive.
That we won best marketing in North America in 2015 because of our agent alliance program. We had a 1,471% return on our marketing dollars because of our agent alliance program. We know it works.
One of the questions that goes right in with that is, how do you overcome some of the broker objections? Because let's say they have property management already in their business. Let's say it's a big office, a Remax, a Keller Williams, whomever, and they have already a property management company in there, or even like somebody trying to do property management, even though we know how that goes as a real estate agent on the side. How do you overcome some of those objections?
Sure. So, and we've had that. I mean, obviously that is very common. There's the lady that's been there for 40 years and manages houses, and she's the good friend, and that's fine. And we tell the agent, look, there's nothing wrong with that. But I also, as a broker, wouldn't you want to have at least a couple of opportunities for the, your agents to be able to service your clients. Maybe they don't like that agent. Maybe we do a better job. Maybe we don't. But just because they're in that office doesn't mean that they're going to use them. Wouldn't you rather have your agents at least have the opportunity to make a monthly revenue stream off of us by getting a referral fee? And you, Mr. Broker, doesn't it make sense for you to be able to at least have that property back when the sale happens? Because if they don't use that lady, if I talk to a realtor office and I'll say, okay, well, how many agents do you have? And they say 200. And how many transactions do you do? And let's say they do a gazillion transactions. And do you think there's any investors in that gazillion? Yep, there probably are. Okay, how many properties does that property manager get of your agents? He won't know the answer. So do you think there's a chance that maybe they're going with another company? There's a chance that maybe they're doing that. Because the reality is this agent, maybe or maybe not, is doing it on the side. We don't do it on the side. This is all that we do. We don't do a bunch of things. All we focus on is managing your asset and making sure that your clients are happy, because we know two things will happen if your clients are happy. Number one, they will buy more properties. And number two, they will refer friends. How much of a rock star does your agent look when all of a sudden you are seeing that, man, this guy's great. You know, this agent referred me to someone. I'm going to buy more. This is easy. So we want to be that easy button for them. So when you start explaining it to them that, you know, we know the law, fair housings, discrimination, Texas property code, all the things, all the buzzwords, if you will, that realtors start scringing on. And I would say, are you confident that your realtor that's doing this on the side is up on all the current laws? You know, are they a member of NARCO? Do they go to classes? Do they know the ethics? Do they? And all of a sudden they kind of start squirming and
maintain a trust account, right?
Yeah. And this is a business. And, you know, there's a lot of liability and a lot of litigation. And when they get sued, it's not just them that's standing there in front of Trek. You will be there also, Mr. Broker. So is it a bad thing to just have us there? I don't know how it's bad. We're not stealing anything. We're not giving bad service. It just makes sense. And believe it or not, when you start talking to them about it, they will actually start saying, you know what? You may not be too far off. And we've been in offices, and the property managers will sit in our meetings. And, you know, like NARPM, I mean, we're very open and very willing to talk to them. And, you know, we'll tell them, hey, look, you know, if we can help you, let us know. If we have a lead that we can't work, that maybe is not in our sector or not a price range that we want, we'd be more than happy to send it to you.
Because you could take that to another level, saying that that's a potential acquisition for you down the road, to where that little small management company, they reach 50 doors, 100 doors, and Lois is going to retire, and they don't know what to do with them. That's where you guys could come in and potentially acquire them. Now, let's dive into how far deep can you take that relationship? So let's say the broker of 123 Realty, they have 50, 100 agents. They don't have property management. How far would you go into that relationship? Would you have some sort of written agreement to where they refer business to you and you refer all the return clients back to them? How far do you go into that?
We don't do any written. The only thing that we do is, because what we've learned is they're very skittish to sign it or lock in anything or anything like that. So what we explain to them is, look, we just want to be top of mind. When someone comes to us, we just want to know that you think of us as a possible potential. That's all we're asking for. Just give us a shot to make you guys look good. Okay. So let's say, for example, we get the client. One of the things we make the client do in our management agreement is they have to say who referred them. So it's a mandatory field in our document. Who referred you? What's the agent's name? So if the agent comes back to us 5 months later and says, hey, I referred this guy to you, you're screwing me over, we say, hold on a second. This person didn't put you down. We have no problem paying you, but that's between you and your Mr. Lead buddy there. That is not between us. So that's one of the caveats to it. Okay.
I would agree with you on that. I wouldn't push it too hard with that small brokerage. You know, if they're looking at just maybe using you as a side note, in a friendly handshake agreement, great. But I wouldn't shove a piece of paper in front of them either. Say, sign here. So we were exclusive, because then they do get skittish on that. And you're there to provide a value add service to them.
And the thing that we do is, once they sign up, we have a trigger in our digital check that the virtual assistant will send them a document packet, which says when they're going to get paid, what the percentage is, all that kind of stuff. It's just a standard form that they get because we know we're going to pay them a certain percentage. And, you know, if the owner wants to sell, this is how it's going to go down. We're just going to give them your information. They're going to contact you. So we kind of, we give them a prep of, okay, this is what you can expect to happen. And because we need a W-9 from them, we need to get a W-9 of their broker.
Right.
And we explained to them, we're not going to pay you directly. Your broker is going to be paid. So this is just a standard form that we have. And we tell them, we cannot pay you until we get this W-9 back. So, you know, and you're not, no one's obligated. It doesn't matter. You know, you can use us or not use us. We're not requiring you to. We just want a chance to earn the business. And exactly. Believe it or not, what I have found interesting is these offices that you and I both know and people listening know that have these property management companies in-house, there's a lot of infighting and there's a lot of tension between each other because that agent stole my lead and they don't this and they don't. They are very happy to have a professional company come in, and I'm MCE certified. You know, so being the expert of being certified, I would recommend people do go in as the expert. And basically, you're just talking about what you know. You're talking about the fact that you know what you're doing, and stay focused being an agent. Don't try to do something that's not in your wheelhouse. We don't buy and sell properties. We focus on managing. Yep. Now, we're a brokerage, and we do some sales, but that's not our target.
Right. It's just a side note. It's basically one of those things that you cannot let the sales leak out the door, so you have to kind of do it yourself.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I could tell a story on that as well, as far as the infighting when you have a management company doing it on the side in a big brokerage. Boy, they get beat up pretty well. You know, you realize we're almost getting ready to be at the PM Growth Summit next week.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be a great event. There's some amazing top-notch people. I'm actually one of the speakers, and I'm a little intimidated that maybe I got to step up my game a little bit on this event.
No, I'm excited to hear what you have to say over there. And that's going to be a very good presentation. So kudos out to 4.5 with Alex and Jordan for Lead Simple for putting that all together. It's going to be a fantastic deal. Who are you most excited to see over there other than me, of course?
Well, other than you, of course, and Dennis Youssef, obviously, from Australia. He and I spoke together at his conference in Brisbane, and he and I are heading out together. He always does a great presentation. And I would echo Jordan and Alex. You know, they got some top level guys. One of the top people I want to see is Ben White, and he's a huge dominant player in the Australian market. And so he is definitely someone I really would like to hear. Just a very, very wise person, been in the business a long time, has a lot of experience. So I'd like to hear him especially. And they've got a couple panels. I really like the panels where people can start asking questions and you can get a cross dynamic of conversations of these experts and really hear what they have to say. So there's talk about an all-star lineup of people. I'm kind of humbled that they asked me to be in there, to be honest with you. But, you know, I just think that I'm going to learn. Probably, I hope that I can learn as much as I'm going to give when I'm there.
At these conferences, I think you will, and you're going to be a value-added guy there, so it's definitely worth that you have an opportunity to speak. So let's just kind of wrap this up. So how would somebody find you if they had questions or they wanted to give you $1 billion, or how would somebody reach out to you?
Yeah, so obviously they can go to our website, empireindustriesllc.com, and one thing I would say is go to our website and take a look at our blog pages. We have hundreds of video blogs that we use as educational tools. And they could be a quick video blog of me talking or Pete talking about, is your house being used as a meth lab? That is something, if I was an investor, I may click on and watch. And that is SEO help. You know, how do I know that my animal doesn't have animal, or my renter doesn't have animals in my property? How do I pick the perfect tenant? You, as a property manager, need to become the expert in your industry, and you need to create these video blogs. You need to give away stuff on your website so that people go back to it. I have been amazed at how many people go to our website and or when they call us, and I'll say, well, why don't you go take a look at our website, and you could probably get a lot of answers, questions answered and stuff. And they said, I was. That's why I'm calling you.
That's
I already want to do business with you.
Yeah,
and so it's a conversion tool. It really is a conversion tool. So in any event, you can go to our website. You can like us on Facebook. We do our radio shows on Facebook. We live stream them. We give away free specials on our website. You know, it's not just on property management. We do a lot of things. We do these owner education series. There's just a lot of information. We try to make it very engaging. And again, I would tell people, same thing, you should do that. You should do that stuff. And if anybody wants to talk to us, you know, Pete, myself, and you as well, I am always very generous with our time. I know you guys have come and talked to our marketing coordinator before about how we operate. And to us, it's the abundance theory. If we can help other people excel and succeed, it's going to make us excel and succeed. And that's kind of how we live. And we, you know, to us, it's not our information. It's we'd be happy to regurgitate it back to you, to anybody, because everybody can use it. And could you take some of my ideas that make you $1 million? I hope you do. I hope it makes you $2 million. I hope you're successful with it, because that means that I created something that is scalable and it has value to it.
Excellent. Steve, well done. Thanks for coming on the show today. Really appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon. Today's show has been sponsored by Virtually Incredible, providing tenant screening services, call center services, and video production services to property managers. You may also visit them at virtuallyincredible.com.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.